today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
It's the Talkin' Rock podcast, and today my special guest is Head and his daughter, Janaea. They're part of this Loud, Crazy Love documentary, which debuts December 14th on Showtime, about his relationship with his daughter, leaving Korn, his drug addiction, all of it. I asked him about watching himself on this documentary.
It's really personal to us, so it was difficult to watch.
We talk about getting caught up in the rock and roll lifestyle, as well as his ability to hide his drug addiction in front of his family and friends. Janaea also talks about how now the music industry is starting to take note of people with drug addictions and mental illness.
And I think, honestly, I think what's hard in the music industry is that people don't talk to each other.
And since I had Head on the line, I had to ask him what's going on with Korn for 2019 as they start writing some new music.
A month with the family, couple weeks in the studio writing, and so where we're at is we're done with the drums of the songs that we've written, and I think we're gonna write more.
Brian Head Welsh from Korn and his daughter Janaea today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Head's making the rounds doing the pressers for Loud, Crazy Love, the documentary about himself, his daughter, his life, drug addiction, you know, being an addict, kicking all of that stuff to the curb and coming out on the other side. It looks really riveting. If you get a chance, just Google it, Loud, Crazy Love, crazy with a K, and check out the trailer. It's like a 2.5 minute trailer out there, and it looks really good. December 14th. On a Showtime. Hey, coming up after Head, Al Beck chimes in with rock news, news about Megadeth, Duff McKagan working on some stuff. Another biopic is in the works, apparently, as well as some of the highest paid musicians out there. You'd be surprised to find out who are some of the highest paid in the top five and where some other of your favorite rockers land in that category right there. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit. As always, five-star ratings, reviews. Love that you guys have been doing that. That means a lot to me, and I do appreciate it. But without further ado, I got to talk to Head here because this this documentary looks killer. He was in a studio in New York City just putting his headphones on. It's always great to talk with Head. No difference today on Talkin' Rock.
Check one.
Yeah,
hey.
You're on.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's Meltdown in Detroit. Head, how you doing, man?
Good. It's been a while, Meltdown.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I think I'm having a meltdown. I never forgot that, so...
I think I'm having a meltdown.
That's right. Still to this day, the only person I've ever interviewed twice in one day, and it was great. So,
why?
Because you didn't like the first interview because you said you sounded tired, even though we did it at 4 p.m. Do you remember that?
Yes. My bad. My bad. Sorry I made you work harder.
No problem. No problem at all. Hey, so this Loud, Crazy Love, you know, I don't know the people that you've talked to so far today, but I have a 17-year-old daughter. And just last night, I yelled up to her room. You know, she was doing her homework and whatnot and stuff. And in a roundabout way, I just wanted her to come down and just kind of hang with her dad for a few minutes since my wife and my son were out of the house. But she's like, I'm doing my homework. And it kind of was heart-wrenching a little bit, but I can imagine what you went through is even tougher because you weren't actually there for a lot of these moments. Is that right?
Well, it was a balance, you know. It's definitely navigating the situation because my life has always been crazy, you know, with the Korn travel early on. And then when I left Korn, we tried to do the family thing, and it was good for a while. But when she turned in, you know, 11 or 12, 13, she had the issues. And so, yeah, I've been a traveling fool for many years, even outside of Korn. So it's been hard to navigate, but we're doing really good now. We've worked through a lot of issues, and I'm very proud of where we're at, definitely.
Now, Janaea, how old are you?
I'm 20.
20. Okay. So, yeah, my daughter's a few years younger. And it's like, you know, both your dad and myself are both in these weird industries and stuff. And I couldn't imagine growing up, you know, in something like that. But this documentary looks riveting.
Thank you so much. I mean, yeah, this life is like unexplainable, honestly, unless you're in it. You know what I mean? It's hard to understand, but I think putting it out there, I think for me is so important because people get to really see how it is, you know, and that we're all just people and that we hurt and we go through teenagehood and what and depression, anxiety, and, you know, it's not always easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, Head, what was the reaction the first time you saw, like, the completed project?
So me, my daughter, and her mentor watched it. And,
oh, yeah.
We had to stop it a couple, two or three times to, there was tears and, you know, walking out of the room and stuff like that. And for, it was just hard, you know, it's hard to see your life laid out and all the pain that you've endured, but you know, there's great times. It's a fun doc too, you know, but,
yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's really personal to us. So it was difficult to watch, but the first time I saw it, actually, it was emotional, but I was just like, it's a work of art. So everybody getting behind the film, the partners, you know, I'm second, and to Tori Mayo, they really put together something special that I could have for the rest of my life, you know, and it could help hopefully just countless people. So it's really a blessing.
Yeah, there's a huge part of me that's super jealous because it sounds like, you know, you guys really are on a path to a great relationship and everything. Like, not that I don't have a relationship with my daughter, but I mean, you guys have, is it solidified? I mean, have you guys really gotten really close through this whole process?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, we are so close. And like going through all this, we have like a genuine, like, I feel like a love and respect for each other, you know, because we actually watched all the stuff that we've been through since I was born, really. Like there's footage of me being born, you know, and like him in the hospital. And so, so yeah, I think it brought us closer, but I was also going to like say that 17 is so hard. Like teenagers, no matter how close you are to your parents, it's always like, ugh, dad, I just want to be alone. I want to have my friends. It's inevitable.
But so, I'm going to say this, dude, you're a great dad.
Yep.
And there's a lot of deadbeats or people with problems,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and they have the desire that you have. So
yep.
You're going to be rewarded with that desire. You guys are going to have the closest relationship, you know, just give her some time.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, we have a great relationship, but what I'm saying, sometimes it's like, you know, I wish that we could just hang out, you know, but Janae, it's kind of funny because it's without knowing my daughter, you almost know my daughter. That's exactly how she is.
Yep.
Dude, we're all the same. Nothing new under the sun, man. We're all the same, and yep. We all have our issues. So that's cool that you guys are close, though. But it's going to even get better as she gets older, you know?
Yep.
Right, yeah. She's super, like, independent and responsible and does her own thing and that kind of stuff. Hey, Head, let me ask you about this, because obviously being parents and stuff, it's like you want to lead by example. But do you think that maybe your bad example taught her things of what not to do? Or you follow what I'm saying?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Because... you know, she knows the bloodline that she has, you know, she knows the alcoholism that runs in the, you know, back in the family line. So she's really careful with that. And she only had like, what, 5 shots of Jaeger last night? You stopped
at
5. I'm just joking.
Whatever.
But, no, but she's very careful. And so I hope that she learned from me and her mom and the generations past. So
yeah.
She's a smart kid, man. And she's got a lot of responsibility too, because, you know, as I'm getting older and, you know, there's a lot to carry, you know, and she's stepping up to the plate. I'm seeing it unfold as she's maturing. It's freaking awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, one of the things that struck me on the trailer, by the way, this is December 14th on Showtime, it debuts, is I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Head, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was, I think your parents maybe talking about how good you got at hiding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that your parents?
Yep, man. Yeah. They said that, and I was like, I was the best, I guess, in the worst way, functioning alcoholic drug addict. I would come home and be on meth, but like totally doing business and taking care of Janae, taking her to school, and you know, doing real estate business deals, and I was all over the place, and so I looked kind of jacked up. You know, people were asking me, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, totally. I just, you know, not getting much sleep, but you know, coming off a tour and everything. I had all the answers, right?" And so, and I'm always joking around. So, if I felt like a just like the gutter feeling inside, I would just turn on like the humor more. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I was just I was a master, as my mom says, at hiding it.
Now I've been in this business a long time. I've interviewed a lot of rock stars and stuff, but it seems like all of you guys have addictions, whether it be drugs and alcohol and that kind of stuff. But the addiction of the stage and everything else, and it's like Head, are you a self-described addict of whatever? I mean, whether it be, drugs and alcohol, which you kicked now. I mean, is it the stage? Is it a loving relationship with your daughter? What is it?
Dude, I definitely have an addictive personality. And, I think it's focused now and balanced with mm-hmm. with everything going on. But I think, my spiritual life is everything to me, I would yeah. say. That's my biggest high and my addiction that I love, but it's in a healthy way, spiritual. I was a little bit of a nut with it at first, so that's everything. And then my daughter also ties in with that, because that spiritual life has brought us closer and fixed and healed a lot of things. So those two are my main focuses. And then the third is, you have to have that in order, I think, because the third is like helping people. Because if you don't have one and two down, then the helping people could, it's just you can break. You can still break inside. And not to say that I'm perfect or I don't feel and have hard times, but, I'm pretty solid. So just this documentary, Loud Crazy Love, at you can find all the information, loudcrazylove.com, crazy with a K. And, yeah, people, check it out, man. And we've poured our hearts into this, and we're just trying to make a difference in the mental health community. And the rock and roll world has suffered a lot. So I hope people gain a lot from this.
How many rock stars and friends of yours and other bands kind of look to you for help?
You know what? It's not a whole. It's not a thing where people like hit me up and ask for help. It's a thing where they hear my story and mm-hmm. they read the books and stuff like that. And so, and they get inspired. I've had countless people, man, in the rock world and that I've heard from. And that means a lot, because I'm not the best one-on-one. I'm better with like.
You are. You just don't think you are.
I think you're right, Janaya.
if I speak like with crowds, I feel like more at home. And one-on-one, it's just, I don't know. But thank you guys. But it's hard. Go ahead.
And I think, honestly, I think what's hard in the music industry is that people don't talk to each other. And people, I think it's getting better now, but yeah. because of all the horrible tragedies we've gone through. But like in rock, hip hop, pop, and whatever, I think people need to come together, especially artists, and be there for each other. And management and labels and stuff need to put mental health, in the forefront, because it's so important. We're losing people.
Yeah.
So
Loud Crazy Love, December 14th on a Showtime. And ahead, I can't leave you without asking a couple corn questions. What's going on for 2019 with the band?
We have been taking our time, taking a break, a month with the family, a couple weeks in the studio writing. And so where we're at is we're done with the drums of the songs that we've written. And I think we're going to write more. The guitars aren't done yet. The bass is far from being done. Vocals have been messed with a little bit. And so taking our time, man. And, we're going to hit it hard at the beginning of the year and hopefully get this thing knocked out. And we've taken the biggest break that we have in years, and it was meant to be. And I love, someone's watching over us, because, Jonathan and his tragedy that he's gone through, he needed time off and he needed to focus on things more. And so, yeah, it's been good, but we can't wait to get back, man. We got things cooking. And so we're hoping to make some announcements like early next year.
And as far as Jonathan goes, he had his solo stuff out, of course, this year. Have you heard his solo record and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, it's so, like, I love that guy. He's all over the place and really loves different types of music. And mm-hmm. I actually saw his very last solo show. I missed one in Nashville because I had to leave town. I got a place there, but I drove to Kentucky and saw his very last show. And the guy just loves, we're talking about the addiction thing, he is addicted to the stage, and he doesn't care. Because there was, like, on the tour, there's probably, like, 300 to 1,000 on the solo shows, not the festivals, but maybe 500 to 1,000 people.
Right.
And he just loves it. No, the guy sings in front of like thousands at festivals and when we tour with the bands and everything. But he just loves these little intimate shows where there's, you know, sometimes there's people playing pool in the back, you know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care. He just loves being on stage.
Well, like I said before, a lot of you guys that I meet and I interview and stuff have addictive personalities. And you guys might go from drugs and alcohol to all of a sudden P90X. It's like, how many times have you seen the guys and, you know, on tour working out all the time, you know?
Totally. And then like the catering, you see all the vegan options now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that's cool. At least like the addiction is health and wellness, you know?
Yep, for sure.
I've seen a lot of that. And I've been in this business as long as you have. And it's like you see these bands when they first enter and they're like wide-eyed kids. Next thing you know, they get caught up in stuff that they shouldn't be getting caught up. And then now years down the road, they kick it and they become health addicts.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. And I'm loving that because look how many years we've ruined our lives and bodies and families and everything. So let's get healthy, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm going to thank you guys for the time. And I have to admit, like I said, I'm super happy for you, Head. When I met you last year and we did those interviews, man, I really found out what a good dude you are. And today, you got a great father, and I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you so much.
That means a lot, man. Thank you.
Well, we'll see you in 2019, hopefully somewhere here in Detroit. And all honesty, I can't wait to check out this. As a matter of fact, I might make my 17-year-old sit down with me and watch it.
Dude, she will like it.
Yeah,
honestly,
she will.
It appeals to a lot of people, so...
Yep.
Yeah, do that, please.
She saw the Queen movie, and I wasn't sure, like, what was going to happen with that, you know, because it's a little bit out of her wheelhouse, but she really liked it. Did you see that, Janelle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I bawled. I was a wreck. It was so good.
Man, really good.
Bildy cried for, like, 2 hours after he saw it.
Yeah.
Because the guy just kept going, you know, he kept fighting, and so, yeah,
so
great
good.
Movie.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Well, hey, guys, have a great holiday season and stuff, and we'll see you in 2019. Thanks again for the time.
Thank you too.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Take care, Meltdown.
All right, thank you. Uh-huh. Yes.
Can we do that again? I didn't feel
like Wow.
If we have to. Okay. All right. Hey, guys.
All right, later, guys.
Thanks so much, man. We'll see you later.
See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That is funny stuff right there from Head and his daughter, Janaea, man. Such a great story. Loud, Crazy Love, like I said, December 14th on Showtime. And I definitely want to see this. Head's gone through a lot in his life, and he's really turned things around. And like I was telling you off the air, that day I interviewed him twice.
Yeah.
Just really one of the nicest guys, sincerely. I didn't know what to expect. I never met him before.
Yeah, and I liked that he had a sense of humor about it, too. I thought this podcast was about to get twice as long. this episode.
Just like last time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, now it's about to get twice as long, a little more winded with Al back here with the Rock News.
For me, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyways, what do we got going on for today? I guess Dave Mustaine and Megadeth. You know, I was just out with David Ellison a couple weeks ago. He is going to be on the podcast the first part of 2019. And, of course, I expect to get into a lot with them as far as the new Megadeth is concerned. They got the mega cruise and the whole thing. But what's Dave saying?
Well, Dave is saying we've heard about this new album from Megadeth, and he is nothing confirmed, no date yet, but he is hoping for a spring release in 2019 for this new Megadeth album. I'm looking forward to it. I really, really liked Dystopia.
Yeah, Dystopia was killer, man. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I've been a huge Megadeth slappy for years. One of the things I actually have on my wall in my rock room is like this framed thing from their record Risk. It's just like, what I know, it's like, really? I couldn't get something else,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
From, you know, whatever.
Actually, I kind of like that because Risk, right there in the title, everything was supposed to be a little different, a little risky. So it makes it a little more unique. I actually think that's kind of a cool item to have.
No, I get it. But I think if you talk to the guys, you know, they're just like, it just didn't work. You know, it's like, But anyways.
Which I think does make it kind of a cool thing to have, though.
Because it didn't work. Right? So now I have it on my wall.
Yes.
Do you want it? You want me to give it to you?
I'll take it.
And then I'll give you $10 to go watch the Queen movie, which I'm sure you haven't seen yet.
I haven't, not yet. So, no.
Yeah, but no, that's cool, man. That Dystopia was a great record. and it came with the one set came with like the things where you could put your phone, you could kind of sync it in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You put on the headgear, and it was like this 3D video that you could watch the band playing.
Kidding.
Oh, yeah, it was really killer.
Nice. I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like 2016. My son was like in the living room, just like, you know, looking around the room and stuff. And when you turned your head, you looked at different players. It was really cool.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it was cool. Pretty neat. So
yeah, that's on my limited vinyl collection. I do have Dystopia.
You do?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to get that one. Yeah, that is a good record. So, but I'll tell you, like I was telling you before, man, David Ellefson, his bass tone at 5-string Jackson bass he plays is just so good. And, man, watching him, you know, talk about the songs and stuff a few weeks ago when he was doing his bass story, it's really good. So, yeah, start of the new year, I think he might actually be maybe the first guest. So,
oh, very cool. Looking forward to that. Well, speaking of guests on this podcast, you had Slash on, a month or two ago or something like that.
Right.
And he said that, hey, there might be some new Guns N' Roses in the works, stuff like that, you know, some new stuff from the band. Well, Duff McKagan has just confirmed that he's doing the finishing touches.
Uh-oh.
On a new solo album.
You are such a tease.
But yeah, if you're into, he put something out back in 2015. He is working on the follow-up. But like I said, finishing up a new solo album coming soon from Duff McKagan from GNR.
Yeah, and those guys, apparently Guns N' Roses, have recorded a song on the T-Rex tribute album called Children of the Revolution. That's done, or at least almost done. I'm hearing rumblings, and some pretty good sources have told me that. So we'll see what happens moving forward with the GNR train. But as of right now, I don't think there's anything original that's going on with those guys. But, you know.
Yeah, not necessarily, but, you know.
Who knows?
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about these musician biopics lately, and there's another one in the works for the current Journey singer, Arnel Panetta.
Yeah, I saw this. I think it starts out in Home Depot. That's where it starts out. Because that's where they discovered him.
Yeah.
You know, he was, I think, what did he do? He was putting YouTube videos on or something. Yeah. He was working at Home Depot singing Journey songs on YouTube or something like that. So
yeah, he's been with the band since 2007, I believe.
Yeah, I was at a party over the summertime for a... one of our mutual friends who went to the Radio Hall of Fame, and Jonathan Cain from Journey was there.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Someone's like, hey, this Jonathan Cain from Journey. Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. So Rover said hi to him.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of, it's a little bit like that Rockstar movie, right? With Mark Wahlberg. Isn't that loosely based on Tim Ripper Owens?
Yeah, from Judas Priest. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and
it's almost like a similar story, though, how they, both those guys got hooked up with their respective bands.
Yeah. You hear about that every once in a while. You know, so Miles Kennedy's in that movie.
Mm.
He's at the very end. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, Miles Kennedy is in Rockstar right at the very end, and he kind of takes over for Mark Wahlberg, who decides to leave the band. So Miles Kennedy actually plays, in essence, the same character Mark Wahlberg did earlier in the movie. And he's in the front row screaming, you know, stand up and shout and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so, that's Miles, a very young Miles Kennedy. And walking out of the sound studio in one of the studio scenes is Michael Starr from the greatest band on the planet, Steel Panther. So, if Michael Starr can't make Steel Dragon, no one can make Steel Dragon.
I'm not going to argue with you. It wouldn't do any good anyway.
So, the biopics are plenty. We were just talking about the Elton John one, which is going to be coming out. So, and last thing here, because we got to get moving.
Yeah. Forbes has released the list of the highest paid musicians of 2018 as we're approaching the end of the year here. We've got the top 30 here. We don't need to hit all 30 of them, but I thought we could hit a few. Like the Rolling Stones were number 30 at $39 million.
How come? Because they didn't do anything this year?
I don't know, but they did announce a tour and everything, right? So they'll probably bump up for 2019.
For sure.
Metallica's on the list at number 25, $46 million.
I find that really hard to believe. It's like, I can't wait to see what the rest of your list is, because Metallica not only has been selling out shows, but they've been breaking records in arenas for people.
I know. And actually tied it. They didn't even have it alone. They were tied with Elton John at the 25th spot. With
Elton John,
46.
Another one.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
All
Foo
right.
Fighters at 22.
Right.
Paul McCartney was the 21st highest grossing.
Yeah. Sometimes as you get up there with like Paul McCartney stuff, they charge more tickets for those kind of acts. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just outside of rock, Lady Gaga was at number 19. Depeche Mode's on here, the 15th spot.
Wow. That's amazing. 2018?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. So let's run through the top 10 real quick.
Sure.
Here. Diddy came in at number 10, $64 million. Number 9, Roger Waters.
Mm-hmm.
GNR we just talked about them. $71 million landed them in the number 8 spot.
Yeah, they're cranking.
Yep. Jay-Z was the 7th highest. Taylor Swift at number 6. Katy Perry on the list in the 5th highest spot. And then getting into the top 4. Bruno Mars, the 4th spot, $100 million. Ed Sheeran, $110 million in the 3rd spot. Coldplay at number 2 with $115.5 million. And the number 1, according to Forbes, highest paid musician of 2018, U2, $118 million.
Did they tour last year?
I don't know. I'm not really on top of my U2 news aside from this.
I know. I'm trying to remember if they did or not. It's bad on me. Yeah, I know.
Whatever they did, they were the top earners.
I guess, man. Yeah. Wow, that's a lot of dough. Dough, re, me. So, All right, Al Beck right there. What's your socials?
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, there you go. At Meltdown WRIF, you can find me there, of course, on Instagram as well. At I think Meltdown, at WRIF Meltdown. Anyways, at Talking Rock with One. And thank you so much for listening to this. Of course, 5-star ratings and reviews are always appreciated. And ahead from Corman, great guest today right here on the Talkin' Rock podcast. We'll do it all over again real soon. As a matter of fact, real soon. I talked to my friend Don Jameson from That Metal Show, and I'll be posting that next week. Love talking rock and roll with Don. That's all coming up right here on Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.